is Fuse Box number 87, King of Sneers. And you should really mix with a better class of people.
Why? And tarnish my sterling reputation as a scoundrel? Nay. Nay, I say nay. Welcome in, friends, to this, the 87th edition of Fuse Box, aptly titled King of Sneers. I am your ever-flowing reservoir of resentment host, Mark Rose, and over there, in his Hilton Hotel bathrobe, is the mayor of Meters himself, Milt Keynes, everybody.
No, it's just a towel, it's not the whole...
Oh, I see. I thought you were...
I wouldn't take one of those things, man. I mean, you never know where they've been, you know?
One can imagine, and then get promptly ill from the visage, yeah? So, visiting the exclusive Fuse Box sauna, were you, huh?
We have a sauna?
Kidding.
Oh, well, good. I thought you were holding out on me there for a moment. No, you know, I came in here today, and there was a mystery puddle under the desk here.
Oh, no.
No, it was water. But I've seen a couple of these things lately around here. I don't think it's a roof leak or anything like that.
Yikes. I sure hope not. We just, what was it, like 3 years ago? We just had that done.
No, these puddles are always under things, it seems like. You know, I found a couple over there, and then there's another one in the break room, like near the sink.
Huh. You know, that sounds like another science project from Eco and Milo, the Japanese pocket squirrels. You know, the last time they did this...
Hey, how was that beer they were making?
Oh, the Wildebeest IPA?
Yeah.
You know what? Really good. I don't know where they picked up the brewmaster skills, but for rodents, that was pretty damn respectable, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I gotta say, I never had a chance to sample that stuff. Saw Pollard's logo for their label, though. That was really cool.
Yeah. You know how they roped Jeff into designing that label for them? I'll never know.
Stock options.
Oh. I'm sure it was something, unique. Oh, hold on. I sense a bold and brazen bit of continuity here. Hang on. Oh, hey, Milo, what's up, buddy? Rubber products? You mean like, what, hoses and... I suppose you could look in that industrial supply catalog I got in my, my office in there. You know, I'm not sure it would have...
What the hell was that?
Well, as you heard, I think he's looking for rubber products for some reason.
Oh, that can't be good.
Well, let's just keep a third eye out for whatever they may be attempting to undertake, shall we? You never know with those two. Oh, and speaking of strange creatures from beyond time, I just wanted to give a little celebratory fuse box shout out here. So, Maestro, if you please. You know, a few days ago, friends, in case you missed it, was World Pangolin Day. I kid you not. The third Saturday in February has been so aptly named. Thank you, Sparky. Yeah, World Pangolin Day. And it celebrates the ongoing work of many, 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 many folks that are endeavoring to preserve these little critters in their natural environments. As pangolins are the most trafficked animal in the world. Now, if you're not familiar with what these little armored denizens of the jungles of Africa and Asia are, you might say they're kind of relatives of the armadillo, but more like a really early version of that. These critters look downright prehistoric, but are quite docile, and they eat insects for crying out loud, so stop killing them! They're listed as critically endangered, now on that infamous list.
You're not thinking of adding one of those to the Rose Menagerie, are you?
Oh, goodness, no. I mean, they'd make lousy house pets. Well, I mean, you'd take care of your ant problem, I guess, but they'd be a good conversational novelty for sure. You know, walking your pangolin on the beach, playing frisbee. Might be a long wait for that return fetch, but...
Yeah, real chick magnet.
Might be, though, you know? I mean, out here, it'd be a massive crowd pleaser. So, seriously, the work being done out there to help keep these animals alive is most impressive. And as I mentioned, they are the most widely trafficked animal in the world. And I bet you never expected that, huh? Their habitats are also starting to fade away due to deforestation, which frankly, friends, no matter what animal is involved, is just a bad idea all the way around, you know, kind of getting rid of the forest. Yeah, stupid. It's quite a fight, too, as Asia and Africa have turned this critter into literally everything, from an hors d'oeuvre to casual wear. It's crazy.
Really? Pangolin bowling shirt?
Yeah, no. Back in 2014, they were officially counted as critically endangered, and the fight to prevent their extinction goes on. So just a heads up there and a bit of gratitude for all the folks who have joined that cause, and may you all have continued good fortune in that fight. We shall return in mere moments to deal with both life and death, friends. Stay tuned.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Well, friends, as many of you know, we spoke a bit on the last show in regards to an article that Thrill List had published, wherein they ranked the 50 states that we live in here in the United States based on livability and just all-around awesomeness. We were noting on the last show that Florida ranked dead last in that list, and as a person who spent a couple of decades there myself and knew of its... charms. Thank you. I was in total agreement with this list ranking. Of course, ironically, the day our show was released, that tragic shooting at a South Florida high school took place, claiming the lives of 17. You know, list or no list, this stuff is crazy no matter what state it happens in. And this trend... The shooting trend, it's worrying.
Yeah, I looked the stats up a while back, and it seems as though there were 15 other shootings last year of this type. Yeah, not all this bad, of course. But
you know what? And I had read a stat that placed the tally closer to 30. But you know, whatever the number, it's one too many. So what is it? What is it that makes the difference? Australia has a very strict gun control mandate, and I think the tally was like 13 shootings in the 20 years since this mandate took effect. We've had 13 shootings in the time it takes me to say this sentence. What's the deal? Both countries, the U.S. and Australia, were ostensibly settled by renegades, criminals of a prior place, and con folks. Yet, somehow, it worked there. We, on the other hand, we clearly have some kind of issue.
Yeah, it's called the NRA.
I tell you, man, if we could prove, not just, you know, intellectually, but scientifically prove that the whole gun ownership thing is some kind of sexual dysfunction, we'd have something. You know what I mean? Loud cars. Big guns. You know the rest.
So, does that mean the whole shoe size thing is...
I don't know. I do know that there are a bunch of voices in this chorus demanding some kind of legislation, and they want it now. It's the only way this stuff can get handled. I mean, public outrage. You know, also show the lying liars that lie, the cats dragging their feet on any gun control measures due to their allegiance. Say it with me. Gun group.
Probably not going to add points to the state ranking, though, huh?
Sadly, no. And let's add some more stink to this. Another unfortunate aspect to this story, friends, is the Florida Teachers Pension Fund has sizable investment holdings with several gun manufacturers. American Outdoor Brands, for one, formerly known as Smith & Wesson. And a couple of others. So that's going to need some looking into, you know? Not sure the membership was aware of those connections. It seems like a thing one might want to review. Just thinking out loud here. The capper, though, is this report. And thanks to Jeff Pollard for sending this link along to us. The Florida House of Representatives was in session just after this tragic shooting, like 5-6 days later. And one of the bills up for review was to ban assault rifle sales in the state. Okay? Seems smart. The House chose not to consider that bill. But, and here's the Florida clincher, folks, but they did pass a resolution claiming porn is a public health risk.
What?
Thank you so much.
What the f- When was the last time a porn site ever came marching into a school armed with an AR-15 assault rifle, for crying out loud? What the hell are they thinking?
I kid you not. I mean, you know, we can't make this stuff up, friends. Florida is once again living up to this reputation of mind-boggling decisions. Regulating porn is clearly more important than taking assault rifles out of the hands of murderers. Well done. Well done again. On the brighter side, this whole carnival act here is just acting as more fuel for the fire. To get those rascals out of office, and maybe at the very least, just hold them accountable for their actions like this? Now, according to this same article, there were survivors of the shooting in attendance at the House of Representatives session, and they all sat there, no doubt, aghast as this decision went down. I mean, seriously, do we need a rocket launcher to protect home and family? Huh? Do we? You know what? It's easier to buy an AR-15 like this kid had than it is to arrange for home internet service. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really out of hand. Pretty sad when teachers have to know what a code red drill is.
Remember the old duck and cover drills? That was horrible enough. But it always seems somehow that it was remote or scary, clearly scary, but remote, like it was a threat over there somewhere and not as it is now, walking down the hall to your classroom with guns blazing. Yeah, it makes you wonder. So, again, our sincere condolences to those affected by that tragic and, yes, senseless event in South Florida. And here's to being the pebble in the shoe of lawmakers to get some much-needed change in that area.
You know, I wonder how fast we'd get a law if the shooters were taking pot shots at the members of that executive sleaze club, Bohemian Grove.
That would be a thing, Mr. Gaines. Wow, I haven't heard that reference in a while. What made you think of...
Well, it's just that those places are still around. The real deals that affect us all go down in places like that. But no point intended.
Well, again, in case there are a few among you out there who are not aware of what Mr. Keynes alludes to here, it's been known for a while that there is this exclusive getaway camp, I guess you could call it, for the extremely ultra-rich and powerful located in Monte Rio, California. That's right. And associated with a rather swank gentleman's club called the Bohemian Club. Look it up. This place is notorious for all sorts of nefarious conspiracies and odd deviances that started way back in 1872. That's right. This gathering takes place, I guess it's the first 2 weeks in July, typically, and is attended by, as I said, the rich and the powerful. I particularly love the fact that one of the rituals at this gathering, and this takes place the first night, and it's called, I kid you not here, it's called the cremation of care, in which the spirit of care is cremated on an altar of an owl. That's right, an owl. Illuminati fans take copious notes. Here's a fun fact. The narrator for the play that involves this cremation of care was at one time narrated by longtime member of the club, Walter Cronkite.
No, say it ain't so.
And that's the way it is.
Yes. Can you smell that smell? It's the smell of care being burned. Sorry. All icons seem to have passed through this establishment at one time or another. Been some great stories done on it, too. If you can find it, Spy Magazine back in 1989 blew the lid off of it for sure. And to this day, the club has no women members. There were four honorary members back in the day, but they were never replaced. Or neither have there been invitations extended.
There have been things extended, all right.
Yeah, well, be that as they may, it's a stinky little gathering, and all sorts of sordid behavement is and has been reported on over the years, and I'm sure this year's event will be a doozy, as they say. They have so much to celebrate, you know? Or perhaps we'll get to them first. I don't know.
Fuse Box.
I was listening to NPR's Radio Lab program the other day, which is a fun show if you've never heard it. It's very well put together. And it actually was a rather synchronistic turn of events, as it turns out.
Will I need a theremin for this?
Perhaps. Or actually, maybe the modular synthesizer, as a setup, let me just say that I was having a discussion with a friend of mine the other day, and we got off on this tangent regarding how the self is determined, the self being that thing we identify as ourselves. Who are we really, right?
Who am us, actually?
Exactly. Well, we came to the conclusion that, at least on one rather superficial level, this self is defined by the stories we tell ourselves regarding experiences we've had, the kind of preferences we have or don't have, as the case may be. It all starts to weave together to form this personality we each seem to inhabit. Now, on another level, one a bit more interesting to me, is the notion of the watcher, that thing which observes these conditions. Now, I'm not talking about some deity in the clouds. No, this is far more intimate. This observer is also us. It watches the personality, the self, do this little dance. But it's witness to it only, attached somehow for the ride. It's not a conspirator in our personality construct. It's sometimes vocal, you know, perhaps conscience-like, right? But again, different. So we have these two ideas floating around, and then on NPR's Radiolab program, the two chaps are talking about what is the self? Where does it come from? And what is it made of?
Yeah, you know, the usual questions.
Yeah. Did you catch the show?
I think I was organizing my dust bunny collection.
An honorable task, for sure. So they trot out this neurosurgeon, who is quite affable and articulate, and he begins to describe the self as nothing more than a series of synapses firing in some seemingly random way, and that personality is merely a series of predetermined connections in the brain that work to create this illusion of self.
Huh?
Precisely. The one component missing from this fellow's theory is, who is it that's watching this process? It's not the cardboard personality thing you just shot down, evidently. So where does this observer sit? Probably in the same place it sits when you dream. You're both the dreamer and the dream, in essence. I think someone said that once. You are witnessing your own actions, even though it feels like you're doing something in that dream state. And you are, technically. But you're also watching yourself do it as well. You ever heard that phrase? It was like I was watching myself, you know, fill in the blank.
All right, now I'm going to go out on a limb here.
No, say it ain't so.
No, really. I've actually had that experience, you know, like watching myself do something.
Yeah.
You know, I've had that one before. It was crazy, man. And I know for a fact that at least one of those times, it didn't involve peyote.
Well, that's a comfort.
Or maybe it was that mescaline back in 75.
Such a pharmacological travel map you are, Mr. Keynes. So, the guys on Radiolab didn't seem too taken with the notion of that random synapse self thingy, or at least they were noncommittal to the idea. And this is where the modular synthesizer thing came into play.
Did I just black out there for a minute, or are we talking electronics again?
We are indeed. And here's what's kind of interesting about this notion of self. Okay. The modular synthesizer is kind of like those keyboards you've probably seen in music stores with all the knobs on top that you twiddle to make sounds, right? Except that the modular it doesn't have a keyboard. It's just a box with knobs. Actually, a lot of little boxes with a lot of little knobs and then a bunch of input and output jacks to route cables to, kind of like an old-style telephone operator's patchboard, you know? Think of that. So, the notion is this. Let's say, for the sake of this example, that we live in an environment of pure energy. It's flowing around and through us all the time. Kind of like the notion of how a sound is made in a modular synthesizer. You have voltage. You have current traveling into this box, which could be us too, right? But it just travels around and through, not really doing anything until we add something to manifest this energy. So, in the modular synthesizer case, we use an oscillator, and it makes a continuous noise. Just like that. Until something gets put after this oscillator to control its gain, like a voltage-controlled amplifier. This makes that rude noise go away or come back, whatever we want. But rather than just have on and off, we'd like to have the noise become something else, something not unpleasant like that. So we add a filter to allow us to sculpt the noise into something more interesting. We can then add all sorts of additional modules to transform the annoying noise into something very different. This process of synthesis is an analog to what we as beings can actually do in our lives. So think of it as if we're all filters for whatever energy comes our way. The energy coming our way can be shaped, filtered, gated, amplified, diminished, or whatever, based on our own relationship to it. So in other words, we are creating our own outcomes by virtue of the adjustments we make to the incoming energy. Also, if we choose to make a really ugly noise that causes injury to someone, the resulting consequences get redistributed back into the energy and may seriously screw up the signal path.
Well, I gotta say, amigo, that is one hell of a meaning of life analogy.
Yes. Yes, it is. Fun, though, huh? I seriously doubt you will ever look at the synthesizer the same way again.
Meh. Ech.
This is where you use my extraordinary skill.
No. Ew.
Hiya, Timmy. Say, why so glum, pal?
Oh, hi, Uncle Carl. Gee whiz. What's a guy gotta do to find cool merchandise these days, anyway? I've been searching online everywhere, and golly, all I can find is lots and lots of girl-on-girl porn, pictures of cats, and posts from losers who live in their parents' basement playing Pokemon Go. Whatever the fuck that is. But I can't find neato shirts or coffee mugs or anything. Gosh, I'm about to lose my shit. I really want to find a hip flask so I can sneak hooch into church like you, Uncle Carl. But I just can't find any. What the fuck am I gonna do?
Well, Timmy, that sure is a dilly of a dilemma. But here, let me show you where to look.
Gosh, look at all that swell merchandise. Wow. Thanks, Uncle Carl. Fusebox is the shit.
It sure is, Timmy. It sure is.
Thanks to Fusebox, Timmy can get himself a genuine Fusebox hip flask so he can get shit-faced in church just like Uncle Carl, who isn't really Timmy's uncle but is just a nice man who lives in his van down by the river. Find Fusebox hip flasks and other swell merchandise at thefuseboxshow.com. That's thefuseboxshow.com.
Uncle Carl, I don't have a credit card. Now what'll I do?
Why, that's easy, Timmy. Run in there and get your mother's purse.
And with that wholesome advice, we take our leave of you and our senses and run madly out the door and through the woods, but not before saying thanks to our always generous, because we keep them well-medicated, vocal contributors, Sabra May, Eric Newsom, and Jeff Pollard. Thanks as well to the always squeaky clean and laundry fresh Milt Canes for technical assistance and puddle removal.
My pleasure as always. Oh, and I'm pretty sure it was the orange sunshine from 74, now that I think.
Alrighty then, thanks for that hallucinogenic update. And friends, thanks to you for pushing play on this edition of Fusebox. It's mighty lonely without your warm company and a little echoey on the side. I have been your sneeringly snide but lovably smug host, Mark Rowe, saying until our next cartoon.
Fused.